The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Lily Defo
and Doreen Ampofu.
In the headlines, 9 victims of Salafist disaster in Asowase in Kumasi buried. PPP to sue government again over non-implementation of FQ. President Mahama inaugurates library complex for Upper West. AU to withdraw troops from Somalia in 2020. And 4 police officers killed following protests against the killing of blacks in Dallas, USA. The news in detail. All 9 persons who died last Wednesday following a stampede at the Asowase Community Center in the Asokori Mampo Municipality of Ashanti have been buried. This was after each of the bodies were identified by their families after examinations by a pathologist from the Konfuanochi Teaching Hospital. The Asokori Mampo Municipal Chief Executive, Hamadan Nuruddin, refuted reports that the victims were given mass burial. Their burial yesterday is in line with the tenets of the Islamic faith. The 6 surviving victims are responding to medical treatment. Meanwhile, the Asokori Mampo Municipal Assembly has taken over the management of the Asowase Community Center with immediate effect. The community center was built as part of the Asowase estate.
The DNI has broken its silence on the arrest of 2 radio panelists who allegedly threatened justices of the Supreme and High Court. In a statement, the DNI said it questioned 2 commentators, namely Alistair Tyro Nelson, 41, and Gordon Akugan, 39, on their comments on Munti FM and Akwa-based radio station attacking justices of the Supreme Court. To bring the details of the statement.
The statement said the arrest was premised on comments considered provocative, inflammatory, and unacceptable, and had the potential of creating security challenges in arresting the 2. The DNI took into consideration the current volatile security situation in the country as the country inches towards the 2016 elections. During interrogation, the suspects admitted making those statements and acknowledged that their remarks were regrettable and unfortunate. Further checked by the DNI, however, established that the suspects were incapable of carrying out their pronouncements. But this show in a show of needless bravado, it added that investigations are ongoing and the suspects are reporting to the DNI 3 times a week. The DNI further observed that so far, several electronic and print media outlets have become notorious for their intemperate vituperations, personal attacks, and outright insults, among others. Is that as part of their constitutional mandate to save Ghana's political environment for all Ghanaians, the Bureau advises all discussions to avoid intemperate and inflammatory language and innuendos that have the tendency to create fear and panic that tend to cause breaches of the peace. It knows that the right to self-expression and media freedom are enshrined in the Constitution. And several governmental and non-governmental institutions such as the National Media Commission, the National Communications Authority, the Ghana Journalists Association and other civil society organizations, among others, have a primary responsibility to regulate the communication sector and avoid inflammatory commentary that has the potential to threaten the peace and stability of the country. The Bureau assures the judiciary, the good people of Ghana, and all foreigners within the jurisdiction that it will continue to work with all the other state security agencies to ensure their safety at all times. It also advises media house owners, show hosts, panelists, and other radio communicators to conduct discussions with decorum, tolerance, and respect for the constitutional rights of others. The BNI says it will not hesitate to invoke the full sanctions of the law against any media house which ignores the warning.
Those are details of a BNI statement on the arrest of 2 radio panelists.
Meanwhile, a media law lecturer, Stephen Frimpomanso, has expressed reservation about the statement by the BNI warning media houses to be decorous in the utterances. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Frimpomanso said it is not the BNI's mandate to advise journalists on how to do their work, since this is likely to infringe on press freedom. He spoke to Agatha Samuel.
For the BNI to come up with such a elaborate statement, I think it is where the issue is. The BNI really is a state agency that deals a lot with investigations, and as such, most of their findings are not made public opinion as you have seen it now. And that is where my problem is. In terms of rule of law, it is going beyond its bounds. The mandate of the DNI does not go to that extent. And that is where I have a problem.
So does it have the possibility of infringing on press freedom?
Oh, surely. Looking at the fact that if it comes to issuing positions of this from the security network of the country, especially when the president is himself the national security chair, then that is where the issue is. But then let us consider the fact that the DNI works in harmony with the other security agencies. But I was expecting this not to come from DNI, from the otherwise, for example, the police, because this issue borders on criminality. And when it comes to criminal justice, I mean, the police plays a dominant role in that. And I was expecting also a statement probably to have come from the Attorney General, but I think we are not there yet because there hasn't been any charge against them for them to appear in court on the 12th. So probably we are waiting for the charge to know exactly where they fall. But the common knowledge is that they are fall foul to the law in terms of criminality, and that is what we are all looking up to. When it comes to the issue of the media, well, they can be advised as they did. But whether that is their mandate is my issue. Is it the DNI that is to advise the media to really be decorous? That is a challenge. And I believe that the right thing must be done. I think they should be given the opportunity to be educated on some of these issues so that they don't go berserk. If it does that, I think it will run justice in jeopardy. The DNI should be advised. I think they are going so far.
Where does the DNI come in when the print or the electronic media house is found to have made such vile statements which falls contemptuous of the law?
Yes, they come in. That is their job. Actually, they come in, do the arrest and do the investigations. But as to where they have to really come out of directions as to how people should conduct their affairs and all that, I think that is not their job. Probably the agencies are failing. That's why they are not coming out that way. For example, the National Media Commission has done so much that we are seeing later. We can also talk about the DGA itself. It has not been able to really sanitize itself. But so long as they are there and nothing is happening in terms of order, then the DNI now has to come out to do such a position. So for me, I believe that it's a moderation kind of effect that they are doing for people to be aware that they have to do their work better.
Media law lecturer Stephen Frimpong-Mansell.
Still on the BNI statement, a security expert Adib Sani has commended the BNI for coming out with such an initiative. According to him, the BNI is mandated to oversee all affairs of the country, both internally and externally. He said the call will help sensitize the media and also bring sanity into the country. Mr. Sani said for the country to continue to enjoy the peace and stability, government and other stakeholders must be guided by the principles of the rule of law, where nobody is above the law. He called on the people to be watchdogs over the affairs of the country.
DNI is the Internal Intelligence Agency of Ghana. It is the FBI, I must say, of Ghana. It is part of the National Security Council, which, as a matter of fact, sees to counter intelligence and the security of Ghana, both internally and externally. The DNI, as a matter of fact, is supposed to, simply put, make sure we go to bed with two eyes closed. The laws must die. Since the repeal of the criminal libel law, many people have had the opportunity to get away with so many crimes. Even when you look at the International Convention on Genocide, many of these things happening on Ghana's radio, International Criminal Court. As far as fact, if you say certain things, that has the potential of inciting violence, even if the violence is not incited. The fact that you even say it is criminal. And when you look at the 1960 Criminal Code, Act 29, Section 207, it calls the actions and inactions misdemeanor, but it should go beyond misdemeanor. I think that we must have a look at the laws. We must reinterpret the laws, because people are, I mean, it's unfortunate many are taking advantage of the fact that there's a serious problem with the culture of impunity in this country. It is disheartening to identify that anytime any of these guys says the wrong thing or does the wrong thing and is arrested by the police, the first person to call the police commander to plead on his behalf to be released is a political figure. So we all have a role to play. In this analysis, we have different people and different roles they can play. We have the 1.5, the 2, and the 3. We all fit in this direct, this space, especially the media. Media would have to, as it were, sanitize the airway.
Adib Sani speaking to Agatha Samoa.
The Supreme Court has set the 12th of last month to hear a contempt case against the owner of Munchi FM and three others for scandalous comments made on the station. The three are a host of the station, Salifu Masi, and two panelists, Alistair Nelson and Godwin Akogan. They had to explain to the court why they should not be committed to prison for contempt. According to the summons, on the 29th of last month, the panelists ran commentary on the then-pending Abu Ramadan case. In the course of it, they were spurred on by the host and allegedly threatened and scandalized the court. According to the summons, the action of the respondents have defied and lowered the authority of the court, bringing it into disrepute. They are to appear before the court at 9:30 a.m.
Now, the best journalist of the year and the best in financial reporting award winners will each drive home brand new Hyundai vehicles at a handing over of the two vehicles to the GJ in Accra. The president, Roland Afomoni, said the vehicles would be a big motivation for practitioners to help promote qualitative journalism. He said this year's event is aimed at encouraging and motivating journalists to champion the cause of national development. Mr. Moni said by the nature of the job, journalists deserve the best and stressed the need for them to be recognized.
Our job is so risky, our working environment is brusque, our deadlines are incessant, and our working hours are endless. Even in the face of deep self-fatigue, we are expected to give of our best and deliver peak performance. Over the years, we have a crop of journalists who have killed themselves for the job in informing, entertaining, educating, and then surveying the social environment. So we believe that these are people we need to honor so handsomely for what they have done. Indeed, Gabriel Marquez was right when he said the best profession is journalism. So if ours is the best, there's such a reason that we deserve the best of cars, we deserve palatial homes, we deserve fat paychecks, and what have you. As it's so unfortunate that in this part of the world, some of our people are not paid well, and in some worst case scenarios, some journalists are not paid at all. So what do they do? The right thing was, man must eat, man must survive, and sometimes the survival instincts pushes them to certain heights, some criminal and some unethical. But we need to encourage the vast majority who are doing so well. And this exemplifies what we can do to encourage them to go the extra mile to raise the bar in all dimensions of journalism. As journalists, I want to ensure that our democracy maintains in forward momentum so that Ghana as a nation will progress in all dimensions of national life.
Mr. Moni described the sponsors, Ideal Finance, as reliable and traditional partners who over the years have supported the association in the organization of the annual awards. The managing director of the company, Dr. Niku Toichani, said the sponsorship forms part of the company's social responsibility to assist the GJA to develop and practice improved journalism in the country. He said the award for the best financial reporter, which has been named Dr. Niku Toichani Special Award, is to motivate financial journalists to aspire for excellence. He explains more.
Our journalists having the best of training, especially on financial reporting. I said that we are willing to partner the Ghana Journal Association to train journalists in economic and financial reporting. And I also promise that we are going to sponsor this year award. And so we have agreed on the package of sponsorship. I said, yes, we are not going to do all in cash. And that we believe that we want to do something extraordinary. And that we want the best journalists of the year to go home with something substantial to showcase to others that hard work pays. And so management of Group ID and the Ghana Journalist Association have come out with a car just 3 weeks ago, and I was listening to some commentary of finance and my heart breaks about inexperience and lack of knowledge of those who are talking about the issue. And that strikes me to introduce what I call Dr. Niku Toichani's Special Award on Best Financial Reporting.
Dr. Toichani said the group will continue to support the association in training and other programs.
And staying with the media, the chairman of the National Media Commission, Kwesi Jan Appenton, has reiterated the need for journalists to highlight teething issues in the country, especially on the economy, that will inform policy decisions. If the journalists have the mandate to champion issues on the economy to propel growth. He was speaking at the launch of the third edition of the Institute of Financial and Economic Journalists IFET Flamingo Awards in Accra. Mr. Gakko has more.
Mr. Jan Appenton bemoaned the situation where journalists shy away from business reporting as they believe the area is a difficult one. He indicated that financial reporting, when done passionately, can help transform the fortunes of an economy. He entreated journalists to write stories that are relevant for sustainable growth and development.
Financial journalism is something that all journalists, as you interpret reality around you, you are interpreting economics. The substructure is the basis of the superstructure. In other words, economics determines politics. Not the other way around. That understanding of reality, of culture, and all these things stem from the economic realities within which we are rooted. And sometimes we tell it and we think it's the politicians or politics determining economics. As a matter of fact, we make our choices based on the economic realities in which we are rooted. And therefore, those who write about these things are in fact giving us the mirror, giving us what society is really talking about. It is therefore a pity that because of a challenge, and so we conclude therefore that we want to understand business. And so you have many journalists who would not touch business journalism with a bad pool because they think it's all figures and I'm not going to understand figures.
This year's iFetch Flamingo Awards has the theme Strengthening Microfinance Institutions to Enhance Growth of Rural and Micro Enterprises. The president of iFetch, Lloyd Evans, asked entrants of the competition to carefully read the requirements to ensure that the right thing is done. He also explains the rationale behind the theme.
Putting in an entry for an award is not only to win, but also to measure or judge yourself in the industry you play in. At least, to give you the sense of your performance and how to improve on it. This year, I hope a lot of you will submit your works for this year's competition. Getting the requirements right means a first step to winning an award. The theme for this year is strengthening microfinance institutions to enhance the growth of rural and micro enterprises. This theme is against the background of numerous crises microfinance institutions went through due to poor supervision by these essential bodies. Microfinance institutions, when given the right support, have helped change the economic fortunes of small and large-scale enterprises. The avenue for growth in that sector is very great. As financial journalists, we have a lot to offer in promoting these institutions for the growth and betterment of the economy.
The awards have 10 categories. These include Best Finance Feature Story, Best Business Manufacturing Story, Best ICT News Story, and overall Best Business and Financial Journalist, among others.
Mercy Darko's reporting. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories: 9 victims of Salafist disaster at Asawase in Kumasi buried. PPP to sue government again over non-implementation of Earth Cube. President Mahama inaugurates a library complex for Upper West. AU to withdraw troops from Somalia in 2020. And 4 police officers killed following protest against the killing of blacks in Dallas, USA.
In a bid to bring back the age-old culture of reading among the youth, a new library complex has been inaugurated for the people of the Upper West region. The 353-seating capacity library is a Get Fund project. President John Mahama, who inaugurated the facility as part of his accounting to the people of the region, charged the youth to take advantage of the library to equip themselves with modern trends in relation to the job market and other educational ideas. The library project is one of many to be built in all regional capitals. President Mahama also inaugurated a community water project for the people of Volemle in the Sisala East District of the Upper West Region. Similar projects have been provided for 10 other communities in the region. Pascaline Adadevo has sent this report.
Gone were the days when it was fashionable to see students troop to community libraries, not only to read, but also borrow some storybooks. That culture promoted sharp reading skills, improved spelling and fluency in the English language. Today, not only have that culture died down, but the libraries have also broken down and neglected. Government is embarking on a revival agenda of bringing back community libraries. The old Upper West Regional Library was built in 1977 and has outlived its usefulness. The new modern library has a special place for children, particularly to have access to educational materials tailored for them. President Mahama encouraged the young ones to spend their time productively at the library gaining knowledge.
Over the years, public libraries have been said to be the poor man's university. Many of us who are in leadership positions today owe our academic achievements and progress in life to public libraries. As a child, I was a very active member of the Tamale Public Library. I couldn't wait each day after school to plunge into my world of Nick Carter, Nancy Drew, Perry Mason, and the world created by Emmett Blyton, the famous children's writer, and even the love stories that were contained in the Mills and Boone series. The library will be a learning hub facilitating effective teaching and learning and independent study.
The president assured the people that government will soon make a case to the Ministry of Finance to recruit more librarians to run the libraries. President Mahama also announced that government is studying a roadmap by the Expert Committee of Education to make each of the three campuses of the University of Development Studies, UDS, become autonomous. This falls into the vision of government that at least every region gets a public university. Later, President Mahama inaugurated a community water project for the people of Walembele in the Sisala East District. Apart from Walembele, 10 other towns are benefiting from a similar project.
So as I stand here to commission Walembele's water system, I'm commissioning the water system for Wichao, Nato, Sombo, Kongu, Manwe, Durupie, Kina, Bufiama, Jawia, JPP. And all these water systems collectively are producing 353,000 gallons of water a day. And they're covering a population of more than 40,000 people.
President Mahama said government has worked this past few years to ensure that the country is self-sufficient in basic amenities.
We have concentrated on five main areas over the last 3.5 years. And I must say that we have made very, very significant progress. We concentrated on access to electricity. We concentrated on access to clean drinking water. We concentrated on access to education. We concentrated on access to healthcare. And we concentrated on reconstructing the road network of this country. If you take the area of electricity, Ghana stands at almost 80% access to electricity, second only to South Africa in the whole of Africa in terms of access to electricity. If you take water, Ghana leads the whole of West Africa in access to clean drinking water. 76% of our urban and rural populations have access to clean drinking.
A spokesperson of the chiefs and people of Walembele had this to tell the president.
No other time would have been more appropriate than this, for we have long expected. The project has seen completion and water is currently running. We wish to say unequivocally that we are very grateful and appreciative for this monumental project, and that we are proud having you as our president.
This is not the only project that gave us joy and honor. Walembele is the luckiest in the Sisala East District to have benefited from the community-based senior high school project. This critical project could have gone to any other community, but we chose to locate it here in Walembele.
On the start of the tour of the Upper West region, President Mahama inspected work on a 180-bed capacity WAR Regional Hospital. Soft inauguration of this project is scheduled for October this year. From WAR in the Upper West region, Pascalina Dadevu for Radio Ghana.
And away from the Upper West region, the Progressive People's Party says it'll head to the High Court next week to compel governments to enforce the free, compulsory basic education SKU policy. The party says although the policy is enshrined in the 1992 constitution, successive governments have failed to implement it. The PPP will therefore seek redress at the High Court following the decision by the Supreme Court last year not to hear the application, as it was not the right course to hear it. The National Secretary of the party, Murtala Mohammed, said this at a news conference in Accra.
The Supreme Court in May last year declined to hear our application that requested the High Court of the land to compel government to enforce the policy. Giving reasons, the 7-member panel of Supreme Court led by Justice Julius Ansa explained that the matter and the relevant provisions relied upon by the PPP did not occasion any ambiguity to require an interpretation. According to the Supreme Court, the enforcement of the provision that the PPP referred to belonged to another court, which is the High Court. We continue to stand on Article 25(1)(a) of the 1992 Constitution, which prescribes that all persons shall have the right to equal educational opportunities and facilities. And with a view to achieving the full realization of that right, basic education shall be free, compulsory, and available to all. We will head to the High Court in the coming weeks to seek redress in accordance with the Supreme Court direction that we rather go to the High Court to seek enforcement for free, compulsory, universal, basic education policy enshrined in the 1992 constitution. Successive administrations since Ghana returned to constitutional democracy in 1992 have failed to enforce this important constitutional provision. The failure has resulted in many children roaming the streets instead of being in school. Education is key to personal and national development. How will you be without education? The President, Chief Justice, Speaker of Parliament, our professionals, etc. Where will they be without education?
You have the National Secretary of the PPP, Murtala Mohammed.
A survey carried out 3 months ago into the country's waters indicates that with the exception of tuna, all other fishes are declining in size and quantity. The research reveals that overfishing as a result of too many vessels and the use of inappropriate fishing methods and practices are some of the contributing factors. The finding was made known to stakeholders of the fisheries sector in Accra. Joyce Chichi reports.
For the first time in a decade, a scientific survey carried out in the country's waters indicates that almost all fishery stocks are declining. The 20-day survey conducted by FAO and a Norwegian research vessel in the Gulf of Guinea in April indicates that marine pollution, particularly plastics, pesticides and heavy metals, are major issues affecting the marine ecosystem. The findings will help in the revision of the fisheries management law. Paul Bannerman of the Ministry of Fisheries and Aquaculture elaborates on the state of fisheries in the country.
Previously, you get very large bodies of the sea breams, the red fish. Now we get very, very small cattle fish, like what we call the postrain or the snappers. We are getting smaller sizes of late. These are indications that there are too many vessels in the system. When you look at the catches of the special industrial trawl, we see the number of vessels are going up. So the catch per vessel every year is declining.
He said artisanal fishermen are also contributing to the depletion of their stocks.
As you say now, yes, there are too many canoes in the system, which we must do something with. The use of unauthorized nets on the rise, we need to curb that issue. We need to provide them with multi-gears and to replace gradually their monofilament nets, which should be a policy from the government.
The sector minister, Sherry Aite, said a port state agreement is being implemented to address some of the issues affecting the industry.
From our 9th of July. So we are only waiting for parliamentary approval so that we issue out the resolution. If they see you are leaving your catch between them, that is transshipment to selling your fish high seas. First penalty is $1 million, second penalty $2 million in 6 months in season. With a post-state agreement, it means that all vessels with any fishing catch, they will have to land their fishing catch at either Tema or Tapuradi.
The country representative of FAO, Abib Hill Gabriel, said weak human and institutional capacity continue to be key constraints for positive transformation of the sector. He said the survey is credible because the vessel has a decade experience in undertaking similar research in the Gulf of Guinea. Data from the survey will be shared by countries within the Gulf of Guinea marine ecosystem.
Joyce Jetty's report.
On the international front, the African Union will withdraw its soldiers from Somalia by December 2020. A statement issued by the Union said the exit strategy of the 22,000 troops will begin in October 2018. The plan was made public this week following a meeting in Addis Ababa on June 29.
Four police officers in Dallas, USA have been shot dead by snipers during protests against the shooting of black men by the police. Police Chief David Brown says one suspect is in custody, adding that an intensive search for more suspects is underway. Gunfire broke out as the demonstrators marched through the city, sending them fleeing for cover. The protests were sparked by the deaths of Philando Castile in Minnesota and Alton Sterling in Louisiana. 7 police officers were injured. The Dallas protests were among several held across the U.S. over the police use of lethal force against African Americans. Meanwhile, U.S. President Barack Obama says all Americans should be concerned about the frequent killing of black men by the police.
And now to end the news, the main points again. The Asokore Mampo Municipal Chief Executive Hamida Nuruddin has refuted reports that the victims who died last Wednesday following a stampede at the Asawasi Community Center in the Asokori Mampo municipality of Ashanti were given mass burial. Their burial yesterday is in line with the tenets of the Islamic faith. The six surviving victims are responding to medical treatment. The Progressive People's Party says it will head to the High Court next week to compel government to enforce the free, compulsory basic education FQ policy. The party will therefore seek redress at the High Court following the decision by the Supreme Court last year not to hear the application. President John Mahama has inaugurated a new library complex for the people of the Upper West Region. The library project is one of many to be built in all regional capitals. President Mahama also inaugurated a community water project for the people of Walembele in the Sisala East District. And the African Union will withdraw its soldiers from Somalia by December 2020. A statement issued by the Union said the exit strategy of the 22,000 troops will begin in October 2018. The news was